Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, lots to get to, and this story with Billy Barr has my attention. Evidently, Billy Barr is not going to recuse himself in the Epstein case. Am I getting this right? That he's not going to get involved in the review or any of the earlier case from Florida, but that he's not. I guess the reporting is that he's reached out to DOJ officials and consulted with the career ethics people. And he is not going to recuse himself in the Epstein case going forward in the Southern District of New York, which you got to think that what's that mean? Does that mean maybe his boy's involved? I don't know. Here to share some thoughts, I've asked our good friend Scott Dworkin to come talk with us. Scott is the co-founder of the Democratic Coalition, also host of the Dworkin Report. Scott, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, Rick, how are you?
I'm good. So what do you make of this? What do you make of Billy Barr saying that, I'm not going to recuse myself?
What the hell does Donald have on you? Like, what does Donald have on you? What kind of blackmail? What does he have over your head? You know, that's what I have had the question at this point, because now they're defending pedophilia. I don't even know. What planet they're on right now? It's disgusting. It's moral. There's nothing. I said immoral there, just FYI. But it's definitely something that we just haven't seen before. It's beyond the pale. Like, it's beyond Roy Moore. It's beyond the disgust. And I mean, we're talking about underage little girls as young as 14 years old that were sex trafficked, that were acted like sex toys and prostitutes that he had photos of, and we're talking about at least dozens of them. Yeah, and that's all linked back to Bill Barr and him trying to be involved with everything. Even if, and you saw how he made it propaganda by saying he did recuse himself, and then he came back and said, oh, I don't need to. So now people are confused. They think he did recuse himself from something like that, and then they didn't. So they're using propaganda through the DOJ. This is a terrifying time. It's getting worse than I ever imagined.
No, this is a terrifying case in that, you know, as I talked last night with Sarah Kendzior, the fear now becomes how they weaponize this and pull, Democrats into this who may not even have been involved in it, but just to muddy the waters to the point to where you don't know what is true and what is not. And because ultimately, look, Democrats are going to be appalled by this. They're going to be morally outraged by it, and they're going to crucify anybody involved in it. Republican voters, I don't think will. I mean, I look at Donald Trump and his, Ivanka weren't my daughter, I'd be dating her, talking of the other daughter at 1 year old, saying, well, she's got Marla's legs, and eventually maybe, those two. If you weren't disgusted and turned off by any of that, this isn't going to do anything for you either.
I suggest, and I'm very serious when I say this, I suggest anyone who's not bothered by that seek professional help. And I am dead serious, because it's not normal for you to buy in this kind of Stockholm syndrome where you believe that this pathologically lying jerk that is on vacation on top of everything else all the time, he's not even doing his job. So, I mean, like, he doesn't even do the bare minimum. And then he's using governmental agencies like the Border Patrol. He had them do a propaganda video acting like everything's hunky-dory, and we're getting called out by the United Nations at the same time. And then he's attacking the UK today. It is Putin's playbook. He's going further with it, and you have to wonder why. And I think what we're going to launch tomorrow at the Democratic Coalition is one of the largest online campaigns that's ever existed for anything. And what it's going to revolve around is Mueller's testimony. And as Mueller's moment approaches next Wednesday, we're going to make sure that all of the propaganda that comes out that tries to attack him or assail him, that it's clear that he's an American patriot and a hero. And so that's going to be one of the examples of they're going to try and rip down a person who doesn't deserve it on any level, who is only doing their job, and found 400 pages worth of information. And I think when he speaks, it is going to be like, it is going to rock our entire country. It is not, it's not, it's something that should be underestimated. This is a big deal. This is a really big deal. And even if he reads just the summaries, those tidbits and the visuals of it, if we had visuals, video of them committing the crimes, it'd be a lot easier for people to comprehend it. Because again, we don't want to bring a book to a Twitter war. And that's what we have right now. So to get that Twitter war, that part of it, we need to make sure that, you know, we have the sound bites. And, you know, this is, again, this is a big deal. People didn't read the Mueller report. They won't read the Mueller report. We've done everything we can to try and get them to read the Mueller report. And the bottom line is we need to be able to have it elevated a little bit more to make it so that people understand how important of a document it is, and how egregious everything is in it, how many dozens of crimes were committed by Trump and others, and how he keeps on committing more and more crimes by taking bribes every day by, you know, from foreign adversaries and others. And so it's definitely much worse than it is. But, you know, we're ready for at least this round coming up.
What do you make of his comment in the press gaggle today that, you know, he feels sorry for Alexander Acosta? You know, not for the victims, not for the people who were victimized by Epstein and his buddies, but for Acosta.
You know, that's the usual predator's playbook, is to protect, deny, lie. And so he's always protected everyone. Well, he says he didn't do it. He casts doubt, and you know, it's he's gonna drag this out. Like, his playbook, what he does in his playbook is he'll take someone who's tainted and he will bleed them dry. I don't know why they let him do it. Like, I would just step down if I were him, and then I would try and clear things up afterwards, which is probably not going to be possible. But I would get out of there, because Trump is going to drain him dry and deflect, use him to deflect from everything and be like, well, I don't know why he's still there. I don't know. Like, he does the same thing with everyone who leaves.
Right.
Oh, they're leaving in like a week. Oh, no, they're not. Like, he just tries to distract and use that as another way to distract from what he's really doing, which is ripping our country apart.
Yeah. Do you buy into the, you know, we had a falling out 15 years ago, haven't talked to Epstein in all this time, don't know anything about it. You buy any of that?
I bet he called him when he lost the popular vote. Like, I bet he called him the second that happened. I mean, they're best friends. Like, they've been friends for decades. You don't ride. I've never ridden it on a, I mean, like, I'm not like them. But you don't ride on a private plane with somebody unless you know them to a private event or private, like, that's really exclusive. We're not talking about a big plane either. And so, you know, they're in cahoots. Like, he even admitted it, and he never told, like, he thinks everybody's his friend, but never talks about him like that. And even joked about the fact that he liked young girls. And this is, I mean, it's disgusting. And if we're normalizing this, you know, I don't know where they're going to go from here, but I mean, it's going into a very bad place. And I just know that they don't reflect the values of our country. And most of our country does not agree with what they're doing right now. Most don't agree with the policies. And the problem, the thing that they're not recognizing, is the harder they are right now, the harder we will push back in the end. And so if they want to push this as far as they go, then we're going to push abortion laws to a level, or pro-choice laws to a level where they've never seen before as a response. And we're not going to have any negotiating. We're not going to have any mercy on them. We're going to follow the American style in regards to following the will of the people. And we're not going to listen to a word they have to say when they try and explain, well, we weren't part of that Trump mess. Like, we will not forget. We will do an Obama reset. We will rid of all this garbage, and we will fight harder, longer, stronger. And I think in the end, we will win. But it's, again, the road is long, but at least we're on the road.
Yeah, now you, a moment ago you brought up the bribes. Now the Democrats have issued a bunch of subpoenas. There's now finally about damn time looking into the Trump Organization and all of the all these people who are making a huge bank off of Trump being in the White House. What do you make of the recent subpoenas? What do you make of the actions going on right now?
So I think it's a big deal for people to be reminded that the House Russia probe and the Senate Russia probe, they're still open. They never closed. They never shut down. And so those investigations are still ongoing, and there's a good reason for that. So that's just something we need to keep in mind.
Yeah, I mean, I look at this, and at some point, I think you have to make the case that we knew the kleptocracy was going to be, front and center. We knew they were going to rob us blind. But I think you have to make the case of exactly where, what, why, and how they've been using the powers of our government to punish their political enemies.
I think that as we pull things out from the Mueller report and we learn how we get our finger on the pulse as to how we can present the argument and our case to the American people, I think that's the key here is what's going to stick, because it's not going to all fall away. We're not just going to let this go. And so this is going to be a long battle. I think in the House, on the House side of things, this is all of the subpoenas are going to. People are going to start to crack. They already are. We have tons of whistleblowers coming in every week. Everything is starting to crack. They're not strongly held together. They didn't expect anything with Epstein. They didn't expect. There's a lot of other things. Elliot Broidy and other people who are implicated in different crimes that aren't related with this. And in the end, I think everybody's going to be exposed. But I really. Do think that Congress is trying to do their best job possible, but they really need to take some risks and push it to a different level. They need to take it to a 10 right now.
Need to get to 11. But here's the thing, I look at the story that came out yesterday about this Annie Donaldson who testified, and she's the ex-chief of staff for White House counsel Don McGahn. And, the story came out that, the White House lawyers basically wouldn't let her answer any questions, blocked her from answering like 212 questions. You go, if you can't get any answers out of them, what good is it of having the subpoenas if you're not going to start locking people up?
You use that as an article of impeachment. So what they're doing is this obstruction of Congress. That was one of the articles of impeachment against Nixon. So they're building that case as well. But at the same time, some people are cracking and they're getting information. It's really, again, it's really about you have to keep on pounding, and you can't just give in to any person just because they're going to refuse to answer any questions, because in the end, they look like criminals. They all look like criminals. When you deny to answer questions in front of Congress, you look like a criminal, and you probably are.
Yeah.
And so it's not when it's this important, when it's this imperative for you to answer questions and our national security depends on it, and you keep your mouth shut about things going on in the White House and treason and obstruction of justice, you are then obstructing justice. Every single one of these people, and I won't cuss on your show, but imagine me cussing right now, needs to get off their butts and be thrown in prison for this. And I think eventually it will escalate to some sort of level like that, being held in contempt as they have done in Congress before, and throwing people in prison for not speaking, because there is no kind of, especially on the campaign trail, there is no privilege that they have whatsoever. And if you try and act like there's an attorney-client privilege or something like that, you're not when you are helping with a crime. So, I mean, like there's a lot of things going on here and a lot of moving parts. And if you think about it, no one's going to make it, unless you're in Donald's family, no one's going to make it through the ringer. Like, people are going to make more deals. But you could be stupid and be like Flynn and not giving everything up.
right.
First time around, and now they're going to slam you, and you're going to end up like Manafort in prison for the rest of your life.
And that's the question I was going to ask you next, because, you know, now that you've got the story, Flynn's kind of changing his story, and it's one of those things where you go, you know, this was this pre-planned? Was this part of the, you know, the gimmick that they tried to play? Is this part of the, you know, the game? I'm hoping you're right. I'm hoping that, you know, they slam him and they throw his, you know what, in the clink.
Yeah, I mean, he should be stripped of his military title immediately. I've been saying that for years now. He's a traitor. He doesn't deserve to ever be called a general. That's for damn sure. And he should never. He should move to Russia. That's where I'm at with it. Him and his little son there, who threatened me before, and, you know, has called me fake news and all this stuff. Because I had filed November 17th of 2016, I filed the FARA complaint against him, the Foreign Agents Registration Act, which is what he eventually lied about to the FBI, which got him into the first round of trouble. Because we found out that he had Turkish and Russian money ties, Russian ties uncovered by Mike Isikoff of Yahoo, where he had gotten paid by Russia, and then Turkish ties, which link back again to Russia. So with a big nuclear deal and also a kidnapping attempt of a foreign national that was based in the United States, which would then eventually lead to murder, we would assume, of him, of Gulen. And so there's like, these are dirty people. And this is the new, this is like the mob 2.0. They're just as stupid, but at the same time, they're brazen. They have a lot of money. They have a lot of resources. And so I would say that this is just proof that Flynn has a lot more to hide than he first let on. And now it's kind of like, oh, I'm going to back out and maybe I can get off of it. Or maybe there's a pardon promised. But, you know, I look at Manafort and be like, tough chance, man.
Yeah.
Unless you got something on Trump, which I doubt anyone really has outside of Putin or the Russian government.
Let me ask you this, because, you know, there's so much here. And for someone who doesn't pay attention as much as maybe you do or I do or others, do you fear that, you know, people get fatigued that and may fall for the line while you're just attacking him for anything? You're just throwing, you know, everything against the wall and hoping something sticks, you know, kind of making Trump a victim in all of this. Do you fear any of that?
Tough. That's where we're at as a country. But I do see, you know, when I feel fatigue from people in person, online, in congressional offices or elsewhere, we switch things up. We don't just pound it home. That's why we haven't been pounding the Mueller report the past few weeks, because we knew we'd be pounding it the next week. We don't want to drain people like that. We don't want to surround July 4th. So we have to mix things up. The slingshot for 2020 was July 4th. Like, we are in the cycle. Like, we are working every day. We are not stopping until after Election Day. Well, even then, probably. But we are full speed ahead. This is, you know, it's no time to sleep. I get tired at times. And then, you know, get some sleep and then recharge. Take breaks if you need to. Switch up what you're working on. Do something in person. Do something online instead of in person. Do phone calls. Try and change it up. But this is what it is. This is how it works. Like, they're breaking the law, and so we have them, foreign adversaries, the entire United States government for the most part, the United States military, North Korea, China, Russia, Turkey, and others working against us, and we don't have any allies kind of assisting, obviously, the resistance here. So we kind of have a majority of Americans that are against him, that want to remove from office. But as of now, there is no route. That's why, you know, there hasn't been movement on impeachment. Besides, we have 85 members of Congress so far. But, you know, Speaker Pelosi can't do it with, you know, less than half of her caucus. Like, she can't impeach him based on that. And then also, people don't want him impeached, just impeached. You know, if you ask them, well, do you want him impeached if he's not removed and they clear him basically of charges in the Senate? And they're like, that's a disaster. And I'm like, well, what do you think she's been doing?
Right.
Like, so it's got to be so – I think after this pivot, you'll see a lot of people call – maybe 30 members of Congress call for impeachment after Mueller testifies. And then we'll see where it goes. But we have to take it day by day. I do recognize, again, that people just naturally get fatigue. But I think that there's been a lot of rest. I think there's been a lot of time where we've been able to organize and get prepared for everything that's to come. And so I think that energy is revived, and I think people have a new outlook. The same tricks of trying to divide us aren't going to work. The same ways that they were going to try and present propaganda aren't going to work. The online kind of brainwashing and techniques that Russians and the Trump campaign used aren't going to work. We're aware of everything. We monitor everything. We're alerting everybody at every time that there's something funny going on. Even if we're not sure what it is, we'll alert people. We have different safeguards in place now to protect Americans. Since the United States government won't do it, the Democratic coalition will. And so we're on a good path. But this is what it is. This is a nonstop, the nonstop route, and the way out is to, get McConnell and Trump out of office and, yep. and take over the Senate, take over the White House. And then when they start whining about, oh, this is too progressive, you ignore them and you wait until we're able to expose the rest of the crimes he has, and those people get flushed out of office and indicted, and everyone faces their crime, because I'm guessing it's just being stalled. All his friends, if there's potential indictments, like this, the level of criminal activity here is something we will have never seen before. What we don't know is worse than what we know by far.
Exponentially, you're absolutely right. And this is one of the things with this Epstein case. Who knows how far this goes? And as I said, when it first broke, every person involved, I don't care political stripe, I don't care status, I don't care who it is, prosecuted to the full extent of the law, no mercy whatsoever.
Mother Teresa, Gandhi, I don't care. This is disgusting. This is not America. This is I don't know what this is. I don't know where they think it's okay. And I really don't think that these Republicans that they're talking about really exist. Not American people. They're disgusted too. I think that they're scared though if they turn on them. And so they need to step up.
Yeah.
Like, stop telling me in private that you're going to move to impeach him eventually. Stop telling me, pulling me aside and saying, well, off the record, blah, blah, blah. Like, tell me on the record, step up and talk to a newspaper, step up and go on TV and start speaking out. You know how much of a difference just a few more members of Congress that are Republicans coming out and talking would be? How many former staffers coming out and saying, this is ridiculous, here's what's going on. Like, that's going to end his presidency. But we can't do it without that. And the funny thing is, it's like, it's just waiting there. It's a gold medal waiting for anyone who wants it. Who wants to have a parade thrown after him? Who wants to have a holiday named after them? Who wants to be the patriot who steps forward for real, not so they can run as a libertarian for office, but a Republican, a true Republican, to step forward and say, he needs to be impeached. I used to support him. It's obvious that we can't anymore. This is ridiculous. Like,
who's going to have the courage to do that?
Nobody as of now.
Yeah. I'm still hopeful. But as this continues, I want to have you come back and keep us in the loop of what you guys are doing. You're doing fantastic work. Keep it up, Scott.
Thank you. Thank you, Rick. Keep it up as well.
Good stuff. As always, our good friend Scott Dworkin. Make sure you check out their work at the Democratic Coalition. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Keeping the chambers of commerce within their gated communities. The Rick Smith Show.